In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, today the Church celebrates with Passion Sunday the beginning of a very brief liturgical season called Passiontide, during which the Church turns all of her attention more explicitly towards the betrayal of Jesus, toward his sufferings and death. It's meant to help us to prepare well, to enter deeply into the mystery of and receive more fruitfully than ever before what the Lord accomplished for us during his passion, death, and resurrection. Regardless how the season of Lent has gone until now, whether it's been what it should have been, a season of conversion through more intense prayer, fasting, and sacrifice, or whether it's been a series of missed opportunities, now is the time the Church wants to help us to focus, to get serious, to change our priorities, to make sure we are not just bystanders of the sacred mysteries we are preparing to mark, but active participants, zealous recipients, and passionate sharers of Jesus' saving work. We witness in the Gospel some of what Jesus needed to endure in order to redeem us. We hear Jesus' contentious dialogue with many of the scribes, many of the Pharisees, many of the chief priests and others in the temple area immediately after Jesus saved the life of the woman caught in adultery, whose life the Jews were using as a prop to try to entrap Jesus. So because they were not successful, they are very angry. The conversation, as we just noticed, only grew in intensity after that showdown, in which those who had made themselves Jesus' enemies were challenging Jesus' credentials and accusing him of the nastiest things, while Jesus was responding by calling out their hypocrisy, that they were claiming to be faithfully worshiping God while they really did not know who he was, and to be good sons of Abraham, while instead of doing deeds of faith like Abraham, they were plotting to kill Jesus. They were children not of Abraham, Jesus insisted, but of the devil. Of the devil because they were willingly, though unwittingly, carrying out the devil's schemes. As obedient sons of the father of lies, they were stubbornly opposing the truth Jesus was witnessing and incarnating. That sets up today's passage. Jesus asks, can any of you charge me with sin. Facing such an embarrassing question, we can hear the pause as Jesus looked around to see if anyone had ever seen him sin. The people at whom he was peering almost certainly included many of those who had had to drop stones minutes earlier when Jesus said, in the context of their wanting to kill the woman caught in adultery, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Nobody obviously could say that Jesus had sinned. So Jesus continued, "If I am telling the truth, why you do not believe me?" Again, we can imagine a long pause so that Jesus could allow his words to sink. When no one proffered an answer to tell them the reason, "Whoever belongs to God hears the words of God." Underlining, "For this reason, you do not listen, because you do not belong to God." His enemies answered by accusing him of being a devil and being possessed. Jesus replied, "He was not possessed, but in everything was honoring the Father who seeks his Son's glory, and that God himself, not them, not Pilate, not Herod, will judge." If that were not enough, Jesus stepped on the gas pedal, bringing them and us directly to face whether we will receive what he sought to accomplish during his passion, making a promise. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." His listeners found that claim ridiculous, since all of the prophets had died. Moses had died. Abraham had died. Jesus added that the Father would glorify him through his resurrection and ours, and that Abraham had rejoiced to see his day. Rejoiced because Jesus was among the sons prophesied when he counted the stars. He was the one through whom Abraham would be blessed. He was the one who'd be the fulfillment of the sacrifice of Isaac, carrying his own wood as the Lamb of God would provide. The enemies argued that Jesus was too young for to have known Abraham, who had lived 1800 years before. But Jesus laid all his cards on the table with a statement pointed clearly to his divinity. "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." He used the same expression God had used with Moses from the burning bush. The enemies are furious, And so they picked up stones to try to kill him for blasphemy. But he left the temple area to await the events that we will ponder next Sunday and throughout Holy Week in the reading of the Passion. He did not leave because he feared. He did not leave because he had like a lack of courage, but because he still had a lot to do. He still had to confirm his apostles in faith. He still had to establish the sacraments of priesthood and Eucharisty. And his time is not yet come. So he left. And now for 2 weeks, he will be hidden. That's why you have noticed that all the crosses are veiled. Because now Jesus is waiting for an answer of faith. He wants to be believed by faith. No, there is no room for arrogance. There is no room for pride. He had performed miracles. He had talked about himself. Now, he doesn't want any of these Jews to believe him. He doesn't want to enforce them to believe. He wants to be believed by faith. That's why he's hidden. So, dear friends, why does the Church have us ponder this passage on Passion Sunday? Not only because it reveals the opposition to Jesus that would lead to his death, but also it is meant to expose within us any resistance to living by faith in Jesus. Do we oppose him in any way? Do we recognize that Jesus is telling the truth and therefore believe in him with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength? Do we listen to the words he says and obey them just like Jesus, who knows the Father and keeps his word? Do we honor Jesus or dishonor him by our thoughts, our words, and our conduct? Do we rejoice to see Jesus' day? As we draw closer to reliving of Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, the Church wants us pondering these thoughts and making choices. Choices about how we are going to spend these next 2 weeks. Choices about whether we are going to put God first in our life, in our family life, and come to each of the events of the Holy Week. The Holy Week is an ascent. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Vigil, and Easter Sunday. Choices about whether we are going to receive the fruits of his passion in confession. Choices about whether we are going to persevere in and up our prayer, fasting, almsgiving, or whether we are going to allow our commitments to wane. Choices about whether we will be satisfied with being part-time in our spiritual life, with being part-time in our family life, or making our whole life an act of divine worship. In the Mass, we enter the saving mysteries of the Lord's Passion. We go up to Golgotha with Jesus as he enters the sanctuary. We are not sprinkled with his blood, as Mary Madeleine of Saint John were, but receive within his body, blood, soul, and divinity. As we will pray in the communion antiphon, the communion prayer, Jesus tells us anew today, this is my body, we shall be given up for you. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you receive it in remembrance of me. Dear friends, Jesus, the eternal high priest, in the fulfillment of the ancient atonement rites, goes through his passion, death, and resurrection precisely to make us his tabernacle and dwell within us. Whoever belongs to God, he tells us, hears my voice, hears the words of God. May we put into practice what we have heard, so that our consciences, our hearts may be cleansed from dead works, we might worship the living God and receive with joy here today in Jesus a down payment of an eternal inheritance. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.